All right, so we're here again with Sabrina Rojack, one of the fabulous, fabulous minds in the world of sexy. And you have so many qualifications. I mean, I could go on and on. So in the realm of dating and relationship, we know that there's a C word that happens a lot. Cheating.
I was about to say coming. No, that's not it.
That one too.
I hope that happens a lot. No? Okay, cheating.
But, yeah, on top
happens
of
just
that,
as frequently.
I got to be careful with the word on top.
Oh, but, my goodness.
Yes.
So appropriate.
Cheating. Okay. It happens. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you know, it happens more often than a lot of people would like it to happen. Would anyone like it to happen? I don't think I would like it to happen. What about you? No. When someone has experienced cheating, what do they do to get their confidence back? What do they do to get back in the game, so to speak?
Okay. So my answers always, always, always circle back to it has everything to do with you. You know, when it comes to cheating, and this is its whole own show, and to keep this quick and easy to answer this person's question, but there's multiple reasons as to why it is that people cheat. There's an emotional reason, there's just the physical reasons, or the, you know, the emotional, mental, there's triangulation that always happens, and we can talk more about that. But for the person themselves, that if they've experienced that, and that's what's been going on, then people's habits then are to take that out on the next people, or throw up all their walls and all their defenses,
right.
Or think that something was wrong with them, right? That they didn't do enough, that they didn't, all of these things. I think in any cheating situation, then it is worthwhile not to, I wasn't good enough and that's why they didn't want me, or not to think I did something wrong or any of the rest. However, oftentimes somebody does cheat because of what's called triangulation. So that means that one of the parties brings in a third party. That doesn't necessarily mean a person. That could be a job. That could be their hobby. That could be hanging out with their boys or their girls. That could be sitting on the couch doing a bunch of nothing. Mm-hmm. But what that means is this third entity, this third thing that's taking away from time, energy, commitment, and all the rest between the two primary couples. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, so you do agree that in a relationship, you have to build and you have to continue to work at it.
Right.
So if that building stops, or if something comes in and, like you say, as a third party,
sure,
creates a degree of separation, then this is where, you know, cheating pretty much starts its foundation.
This is why the majority of people, I'll say, and this is also what's been statistically why women tend to cheat versus men. A lot of times what it looks like, the statistics will say that men cheat more of on a physical level, not because of always emotional connection. Mm-hmm. And whereas women tend to cheat because this has already been triangulated. So her husband works too much and he's gone all the time.
Right.
And so she's feeling neglected or not feeling taken care of or seen or whatever else is going on there. And so then she usually emotionally cheats. So she could also physically cheat, but she finds that other party or that other man that helps fills those needs that her husband isn't filling. So that would have, he would have already triangulated, and then she in turn triangulated. Does
right.
that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So now the thing with that also isn't to place a blame game like, oh my gosh, or whatever. It's really just for yourself to look at, what role did I play in this? It is two people in a relationship, and what role did you play? Was there anything where you could choose to do differently next time? And again, it's not even a beating yourself up. It doesn't even have to, because that gets you nowhere. It's really, what could you have done differently? What would you have liked? Could you have paid more attention? Were you doing too much over here? And did she have any, he or she have any sort of a valid point? So then going into your next relationship, you can be aware that that's something you do.
So does that start the healing process then, to get back in the game, is trying to recognize what part that you played and kind of analyze the situation and say, okay, I could have done this better, that better, and then start to build yourself back up?
Or? I absolutely think that that's key and necessary, and that you have no business, that's just my personal opinion, that people don't have any business jumping into another relationship. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people do, to try and forget the ex, to get over them, but that you have no business jumping into any relationship until you've looked at that. Because maybe whatever your partner complained to you about, maybe it was just a bunch of crap. I mean, you know, some people, they're paranoid. Some people are angry. Some people project, put all their crap on you, but there also might've been some validity. So if you don't want to keep choosing the same type of people, right? That's people's biggest complaint. I keep choosing the same asshole over and over again. Well, of course you do, because you didn't change anything about yourself.
Right.
In order to do that, you need to look at, what are your patterns? What are you picking? How are you not showing up? You know, and how are you attracting this type of a person? But absolutely, is, what part did I play? take ownership of it. It doesn't have to be a beat yourself up session, but okay, you know what? I don't want to be that person. Let me do differently and realize their issues are their issues and they don't really have much to do with you.
Right.
Your issues are your issues and don't really have much to do with everybody else. We like to blame everyone else, but it's your own stuff. So work on yourself, love yourself, know what yourself wants and know who you are, not in relationship to other, but who you are just because of who you are.
So when you already have issues,
which most people do.
Which we all do. We all have issues. Let's face it.
Yes.
And you're dealing with your issues and then you go into this relationship, but you're not technically dealing with your issues, you know, in relation to this relationship,
right.
But you get into it.
A whole lot of relationships.
Yeah. You get into it and you know, these issues begin to surface. Then the cheating happens.
Okay. So
now
give us an example.
Okay.
Cause there was a whole lot of some things in relationships and situations.
So, you know, I'm me and I have my own set of problems. Okay.
Like what's your problem?
My problem could be, maybe I am a workaholic.
Okay.
All right. I just feel like, you know, in order to be a provider or
sure.
whatever, I have to work.
Sure.
So I'm working all the time. That's one of my issues.
Okay.
I have other issues, but that's one of the main ones.
Okay.
And I get this young lady and during the courting phase, I mean, you know how that goes. Mm-hmm. Everybody's excited. Everything's mm-hmm. wonderful. Okay. So she doesn't really harp on the fact that I'm gone a lot.
Sure.
She's just, you know, valuing the time.
Sure.
Well, it comes down to, okay, now we're together. Now mm-hmm. we're rolling. But
and you're
now it's
a very big issue.
Right. Now it's becoming an issue because
yes.
it's okay. I don't have you the way that I envision I would have
right.
you because, you know, you work all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then the cheating happens. She steps out. And you, oh gosh, you can go so deep with that. You know, did I catch him?
You
know,
did I
go through the phone? But anyway, yeah, you know, the situation comes and you know, it comes to the forefront. So now, not only do I have the workaholic issue, but now I've been cheated on issue.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world do I begin to come back from this? Because
sure.
I already have this issue.
Right.
Now I have this one too, and
right.
they're compounded.
Right. Okay. So. When it comes to this, really, when it comes to anything where there's so many times that people get married, let's say, and like you just said, she already knew how you were. She already knew what was going on, but now we're in the long term or now we're actually getting married. And there was somewhere in there that she hoped that things would be different, mm-hmm. right? And part of that is really just learning how to communicate more effectively. And we don't. That again, is its whole own week, month-long series on communication
yes.
on how we're not taught to communicate well. But really what that could have looked like, instead of this, let's talk about what it could have looked like, and then let's talk about what the issue was, like you said, that being compounded. Which the first is that if she is being open and honest, that she could have said, I know that this is what you do, and this seems to bring you great fulfillment, and I appreciate that you're taking care of us in the way that you are. However, I'm not being met X, Y, and Z. She could have absolutely said that, and maybe he was like, well, like you said, you already knew what was up. I'm not going to change, and later for you anyways. Like,
right.
that's just not how it's going to be. Well, then we have decisions to make there. Part of what's happening is that people want so badly for these relationships to work
mm-hmm.
that sometimes just aren't meant to work. I'm not saying that a workaholic is a bad thing. However, if that's your priority, if that's what you're doing, and if that's something the other party's not willing to work with or deal with, or they don't want that, guess what? That's not the person for you. The part of the other issue is that we think we're the ones that are going to make everyone change. We go into a relationship falling in love with their potential, but not where they are right now, thinking and hoping that they're going to want to be the potential you have in mind for them. And the thing is that's usually not the case
yeah,
either.
Right.
So now we've set ourselves up for resentment and upset mm-hmm. and all of these things. And so now that's why people go out and cheat. Mm-hmm. When really there again, it's we need to regroup and have a conversation and be very real. This is not being met. I've said this before. If you can't change this, I'm not willing to accept it, then we really do need to part ways. Those are the conversations people aren't having
right.
that need to happen more often. So you, workaholic, need to figure out then really where is relationship and priority for what you want. Or you need to seek out a different person.
Right.
Find a person who is also a workaholic and that the times, you know, or that you're that super busy doing something else, but those are agreements that you're having. These are things that you talk about and say, I work an 80-hour work week. I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. Right now, that may not be an issue for you. Later on, when you want to spend time, that may be an issue. What are we going to do?
And I feel like there's some workaholics out there that's going to benefit from this. So, you know, same scenario. This has happened. I'm a workaholic still. I've been cheated on. Now I don't trust anybody.
Of course.
So it's hard to have the little bit of time that I do have.
And to trust that they're not out there cheating. Right.
So what do I do now?
Right. What do you do now? You learn how to communicate effectively. I mean, really. And that's recovering from anything. Regardless if people have been cheated on or not, people have been treated in ways that weren't what they had hoped for. So we have all this baggage coming into relationships. And number one, it's being honest with yourself that this person had nothing to do with the rest of your baggage. This is a completely different person, because people have seen it happen. I've heard it 1,000 times. Well, she accused me of cheating so many damn times. Finally, I was like, yeah, well, forget it. I might as well. She already, you know, and that's a valid something to say. I mean, it's valid on one side, because it's like, you can't keep accusing somebody if it's not even there, if the signs aren't there and you're just paranoid. And at the same time, you don't get to use anything as an excuse. You did it because you did it, not because somebody kept accusing you of it or whatever. So that's a whole nother thing as well. But really, it's just being open and whatever happened to, and this freaks me out about relationships. Whatever happened to coming into this saying, listen, this is what my history was. And these are the things that hurt me. This is what didn't work. Yes. This is where I didn't work well. I was cheated on, and this is why. And I'm going to work very hard, of course, at trusting you and allowing you to be you and not put everybody else's junk on you. But the times that we're not together, you know, I am sensitive to what are you doing and what's going on, but I also don't want to be overbearing. How come you can't just say that? Most people would say, oh, that sounds too vulnerable. You sound like a this, you sound like a that, you sound like a whatever. But that's part of the problem. We're all too busy trying to sound hard, trying to keep our poker hand, keep our game face on, like we're not being hurt or that we're not being bothered or whatever, when we could make this so much simpler by simply saying, hey, what's happened to you before? Okay, and what's happened to you before? And this is how I tend to be in those types of situations. How are you when you get upset? When you think something is happening? What are some questions? And it's how are we going to fight fair? How are we going to communicate about this in an effective manner? When you start shutting down, what does that look like? When I shut down, what does that look like? When I should ask one more question, or when it's time to be quiet and come back, you know?
Well, this is some good stuff. We're with Sabrina Rojek from SabrinaRojek.com, Sexy in Charlotte. We're talking about cheating. We're talking about how to recover from cheating after it's happened, how to get your confidence back, get back in the game. But there's something that you touched on just now that I want to ask real quick before we wrap it up. You talked about when a person is accusing, the accusation phase. Mm-hmm. It happens a lot. Mm-hmm. But when we look at accusation, really all it is a curiosity of something that may or may not be going on. How is that properly communicated without actually accusing someone of doing something that you're not sure about? Because you really just want to know, is something going on? That's the question. You know, is it? Is it not? Is there an issue? If you already feel like there's an issue, then, you know. So how do you deal with that without accusing someone of doing something?
So my question first, though, is it curiosity or is it fear?
Ah, that's good.
There's a difference in how and why I'm asking. If I'm paranoid and nothing really is going on and you truly haven't given anybody any reason, it's my fear. It has nothing to do with curiosity. It's I've seen this happen before, and before you can hurt me and get even involved, I'm going to start asking to make sure that there's nothing leading up to, you know, because quite honestly, most questions are asked for a fear-based reason when it does come to that. And again, it could be relayed as, I've had this happen in the past. I don't want to accuse. I don't want to be bothered with these things. This is something that I'm working through. You know, I am wondering what you are doing. I'm wondering what's going on. And it also is going to be up to the other person, though, to have their own boundaries. I mean, truly, we have to be able to trust each other to say, if you're not comfortable answering that for the 1,000th time, or if you don't feel like you need to, you don't have to. Right? You have the choice to, and some people will. They'll answer it 17,000 times until they're resentful and they're pissed off with answering it, or they finally, you know, or they say whatever they say. But why not say, you know what? We've gone through this. I've answered this a lot of times. You're kind of cycling on the same thing, and that's something you need to work through, because it really is. That's something they need to work through. You can't help them with that. There's not really anything you could do. You could write down your entire day. And if you miss 2 minutes, there are those people that are going to be like, these 2 minutes, what happened?
What happened?
And that has nothing to do with you. So really, it's about you too having the boundaries to say, we've already done this and I've already discussed it. And if we're going to say that we're building on trust and things like this, you're going to have to learn what that looks like. That's and you may need to get some help with that. And that's a perfectly thing, good, fine thing to say.
That's very good. So maybe next time we can touch a little bit on what that looks like as far as that process of getting help. If you find that you may be that individual who has some issues inside, some internal things that have gone on in your own life that makes it hard for you to trust somebody because of your own issues.
Right.
Maybe we can touch on that next time and maybe help someone that's in that predicament.
Well, and the last thing I'm going to say on it too, anyways, again, is this confidence is know who you are outside of others. I said it earlier, but part of the confidence thing that people lose too, cheating or otherwise, when their relationships aren't all that they hope they would be, is sometimes there's that fear that they get so enmeshed in the relationship of being this partnerhood that they've lost themselves. And so there's that fear of who am I if I'm not with this person? And so really it comes down to answering that question for yourself, cheated on or otherwise, who are you outside of anybody else? What do you like to do? What grounds you? What roots you? What do you love about yourself? What do you like about yourself? And in turn, somebody then else can appreciate those things. But until you've even looked at those, until you even know what those are, how do you expect to attract anybody even who can honor those things about you and who can give you exactly what it is that you need? So again, please answer or ask your questions, and you can send those into questions@sexyandcharlotte.com or questions@sabrinaspeaksex, and go to www.sabrinaspeaksex or sexyandcharlotte.com, as well as listen to the iTunes podcasts online and Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us, Marcus. Thank you so much for your questions.
As always, my pleasure.
And have the best day ever.